All right, welcome back to another episode of Fatboy and Captain Llama. I'm Will.
I'm Regan.
So we had a small break, I guess you'd call it. It's been a couple
about three weeks
since we posted. Not a whole hell of a lot, really. Oh, like, there's some big things been announced, but nothing particularly,
I think things have moved pretty fast as far as comics go compared to what was going on before. But outside of that, it's been pretty quiet.
Yeah. Well, I think in the last episode we were talking about Forever Evil and how we'd sort of
lost interest.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there was a big gap of time where, you know,
it was 2 months or something.
Yeah, something crazy. But the final issue finally came out, and it was pretty worth the wait.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, I was pretty stoked with it.
So. Quick rundown, I guess. So where did we go from there? So
the last one finished off with the Mazas or
Alexander Luthor. So Alexander, that was really, I don't know, it seemed like weird.
That did not go where I thought it would go.
No.
Because he ended up just being a bad guy as well.
Yeah, he just kind of just, well, it makes sense. Like, it's like a universe full of evil people.
But my understanding was that in that universe, Lex Luthor was always like the good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just kind of like, kind of an asshole the whole time.
Yeah, he's kind of a prick, yeah.
And, fucking Superwoman's just like a dirty whore, just like throwing it around at everybody.
Pretty much. Nah, she's got a kid with, I couldn't quite work out though, was it supposed to be Ultraman and her kid, or was it Lex Luthor and her kids?
She said the last of it was Lex Luthor and her kid.
Alright, see, that's, okay, weird.
Yeah, because you brought up an interesting point that it could potentially be a lead-in to Superboy Prime.
Yeah, because when they were like, you know, I think they mentioned it's a boy, and then at the end, like, they showed her just in that room holding her stomach, and
yeah,
I was like, well, the kid's obviously going to come out at some point. They have to, they can't just leave that thread untied.
Yeah.
And the fact that Owlman's now in the universe as well on the run.
I don't think it's potentially my theory. I might have read this somewhere that he's going to be, like, the main protagonist for the Grayson series.
Because
he's got this weird infatuation with Dick Grayson.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I reckon that could be interesting. Like, he becomes like his arch enemy of
That'd
sorts.
Be cool. What's that new series called?
Just called Grayson.
Just Grayson.
Yeah, it's like a, what do you call it? Like a spy thriller kind
and
of.
Isn't the premise that Batman's actually sending him off on these missions?
Yeah, well, at the end of Forever Evil, he sort of tasks him with it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he's like, this is going to be the most important or dangerous mission that I've given you yet or something. Or like.
Yeah. But back on to just, before we move on to Grayson. When does that come out?
Should be soon.
I feel like so.
It'd be like July or August, maybe.
Yeah, I'm willing to check it out, to be honest. Like, I'm not a big Dick Grayson fan. I'm not a big Dick Grayson fan. So,
huge Nightwing fan. That's my hesitation with this series.
See, I haven't been. Other than when he was Batman. That's the only time I've ever really liked him.
That was a good run. That was cool.
But that was more Grant Morrison than anything else. So.
Yeah, like, that guy could write a story about my foot and I'd read it.
But yeah, so Mazas didn't take the direction I really thought it was going to go.
Not at all. I kind of liked where it went, but I didn't expect it. My idea was it was like he's going to come and save the world, but he was just like, no, fuck you guys, I'm just going to kill everyone.
Yeah, he was really, he's just an
asshole.
He was just a jerk.
He's like Lex Luthor with superpowers.
Yeah, well, then it came down to actual, like, that universe is like literally just fucking taking names.
Yeah, he got pretty hardcore in it, didn't he?
Yeah, he resurrected Dick Kirk, that's how the last one ended. He seemingly killed Dick
Grayson. And Batman's like a snapping point.
Yeah, and they're like, it opens up on that snapping point where he's like strangling him.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, that was fun.
And then there was that little throwback to it afterwards where Catwoman's like, were you actually always going to revive Dick? Or did you just do it after Batman, you know, whatever they said? And then he was just like, does it really matter?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh no, so he's still an asshole. Like,
yeah.
He's still there.
But he seemed to undergo some, the bit that didn't sit well with me was his sudden change in, like, personality. Like, he suddenly, like, once Bizarro was killed, he, like, suddenly cared and became a good person.
I think it was,
like, that was, like, a breaking point for him.
They tried to make it was as though, like, they destroyed something that Lex had created, and that's why he cared, because it was almost like he hadn't made something perfect.
Yeah.
So, I kind of like the moment. I see where you're coming from too, but it was.
It seemed a little
forced. I think they handled it as well as they could have, as far as making Lex change face.
Well, that's the thing. I didn't think he had to change face for it to work. Like, he could just, like, you know, he's taking back his world. He doesn't need to suddenly become a good guy.
Yeah, I'm still not sure where that's going to go with Justice League too, because the follow up in Justice League had him sitting in the Watchtower, and they like put the lasso of truth on him, and he's like, he's telling the truth, and he genuinely wants to help people and stuff. But
that said, though, he's like, so that he might have thought a way around.
But then that totally undermines Wonder Woman, like as a hero. If Lex Luthor is able to get around the Lasso of Truth because that's...
No, but, like, he potentially found, like, a countermeasure, like, something, because he's in his mechanical suit.
Yeah, I did think about that. I was hoping they wouldn't take that angle, though, because I feel like it just kind of takes back from what the Lasso of Truth is supposed to be.
Yeah, but I did like that when he had the last, like, when he was supposedly telling the truth, that it was, like, not because he wanted to be a standout human being. It was, like, a purely ego-driven. He liked the power trip that he got from saving the world, and he wanted to do it again.
That was a good way to handle it, I think.
I thought that made more... That was more believable to me than it was him snapping over Bizarro, and he wanted to be, like, a superhero.
Superhero or something, yeah. And it was the fact that, yeah, he finally got what he wanted. He was, like, the savior of the world, and Superman didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's like, fuck you, Superman. Fuck you.
Yeah. Have you been reading any of the Doom stuff?
No, what, the action... Oh, no, I read...
It kind of plays on from the Justice League stuff as well, with Lex Luthor and Superman.
The only bits that I've read were the... Was the Batman Superman portion of it? Mm-hmm. Just because I read that series, so I just picked that one up to check it out.
It's been pretty, like, as far as Doomsday stories go, obviously you've got, like, you know, Death of Superman, which is one of those iconic stories, but then there was that Doom storyline they did right before the New 52 reboot, which was just such a piece of shit.
Oh, I did read
it was like
that, or some of it.
Lex Luthor and Doomsday in space, and, like, it was just awful.
Oh, because that, like, yeah, that ended up tying in with Action Comics, which at the time I think was, like, a pure, like, it was a Lex Luthor run for a couple of
issues. Yeah, it was a Lex run, yeah. And
that started really strong.
I heard the Lex stuff was amazing, but...
Yeah. It got really... The first portion was really good, and then it just went too far with it and ended up being really shit. It ended really badly.
Really badly? Not good.
It just, like, he became a god in space and then got sucked through a wormhole.
Yeah, that's basically what I read when I saw it. It was like he was a space god. And I was just like, this is a weird angle to take with a guy who is, like, you know, already trying to be the most powerful man in the world.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's... And spoilers for anyone who hasn't read it. It's basically Superman and Doomsday fight. He destroys Doomsday and then all of Doomsday's ashes get blown out in the air. So he sucks them all in. And Doomsday is basically taking over his body. So it's
that's the bit I read, that it was like some sort of disease he had now.
Yeah, and in the latest issue, basically, they've, like, got a nuclear, or a kryptonite nuclear bomb inside of Metallo, and nice. They've blown up Metallo in front of Superman, and it's basically killed off any remaining parts of Superman, so all of a sudden it's just Doomsday in the Superman suit.
Oh, shit.
So it's like, that's kind of where it ends off, and it's like, is Clark actually still alive? Like...
Well, we know there's a new Geoff Jones run coming up, so he must be.
There's a lot of good Superman stuff coming out. Greg Pak's stuff is amazing. I don't like Scott Lobdell. But then Scott Snyder with Unchained, which is a little bit MIA at the moment.
That's actually, that's going to be finishing, I think it's next month it comes out now.
Okay. So it wasn't an ongoing series, it was just a little...
Yeah, no, it was. I was under the impression it was, but I just didn't read it.
I
didn't read it close enough, so... he does enough at the moment. He's got a lot going on.
Oh, I do have a lot in his plate.
Apparently, there's a series that he's written that I only just heard about now, and it's about to finish, called The Wake, which is supposed to be really good.
Yeah. I haven't read it. I've been watching the reviews and stuff, and apparently it's really, really good.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where what it's all about, because he's a good writer. And
he's on Batman and Superman as well at the moment. Like, he's doing that plus Wake plus American Vampire, like...
Batman Superman is,
he's doing a Batman story as well as a Superman story.
Oh, yeah,
story, like...
And he's doing, Eternal as well.
Dude's busy.
Yeah, he's getting busy. They always seem to write so many different things, and I'm like, I'd struggle to write one thing.
I don't know how I guess when you're devoting all of your time to it, when it's your job, you have 12 hours a day every day, if not more, to do it.
I guess. So but you have other things to do as well, like, just, like... Even, like, admin, like, organizing shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But when you're a comic book writer...
Yeah, you'd live for... Like, I guess if, like, that was my job, that's, like, I'd do nothing else.
Do nothing else, exactly. Because
I wouldn't want
to. You're getting paid for it, you wouldn't want to, exactly.
I guess the last thing I want to talk about with Forever Evil would be the ending.
Yeah.
It pretty much... it did exactly what I think I predicted in a couple of episodes ago that it was going to do, which was lead into a new crisis.
Yeah, because the Anti-Monitor showed up at the very end.
Yeah, a little slightly different looking Anti-Monitor. He seemed like a human size. And he seems to have underlings as well. Like, there was somebody talking to him.
Yeah, I do vaguely. Because he was much larger before, wasn't he?
He was, like, fucking as big as the moon. He was huge.
Shit.
He was a big dude.
Maybe he can grow or something. I don't know.
It makes sense to make him slightly smaller. Like, it was kind of... He became, I feel like, hard to use, like, well as a villain because he was so large.
awkwardly big.
Yeah. Like, you can still make him powerful, but just make him, like, human-sized.
Yeah, otherwise it's like Superman and fighting the moon.
Yeah. And, so, it makes a lot of sense, because next year is the 30th anniversary of the first Crisis the crossover that they did.
So that should be a good little run. I'm quite excited for that.
Yeah, and it seems like he's got a real hard-on for Darkseid as well, because that was, like, the only, like, bits of dialogue he has was, like, something about consuming a world, and then Darkseid will be mine.
Darkseid will be mine, yeah. That could be cool, any more in a Darkseid fight.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see where that's going to go, and exactly what the deal is with that one.
I wonder how long it'll take to kind of build up as well.
I think it'll be... I feel like it'll be... Well, it'll be next year, I reckon. Because that's the...
Do you reckon they'll do little spoilers throughout Future's End or anything?
They might. I don't know. Because Future's End seems really focused on this war with alternate Earths. Though, really, the first Crisis was a crossover between the two.
Yeah, that's why I feel like they're all going to play in together.
Maybe, yeah. Well, because, yeah, by the time Future's End reaches its ultimate point, it'll be sometime next year. Like, around, like, yeah, a couple of weeks ago... Next year.
Next year, yeah. 45 weeks from now.
Yeah, so potentially that's what's going to... And then that'll lead straight into the new one. We've still got World's Finest to come. The last weekly series to come.
Is that what the last weekly was?
Yeah.
I thought it was World's End.
World's... Yeah, sorry. Where did I get World's Finest from?
Superman, Batman. I don't know, that'll come up later.
Yeah, that would have been a good title. World's Finest.
I see, that's what I said. I wanted it to be called World's Finest.
I was just happy with Batman vs Superman, to be honest.
To be honest, I felt like it needed more. I can deal with Dawn of Justice. I would have preferred World's Finest, Dawn of Justice or something, or like World's Finest, Batman vs Superman.
That's too many. It's too much there.
But like,
for those that don't know yet, the official title for Batman v Superman, the next Man of Steel film.
The Man of Steel sequel that everyone's forgetting is actually about Superman.
Interesting point on that, though, but I'll get to that once we get through the title. So it's been called officially Batman v Superman and then...
Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, Dawn of Justice. It's not the worst they could have chosen. It's better than they put out... Like,
yeah, there was a couple, like, the Dawn of, or, like, Darkness or something, or, like...
Rise of the Darkness, I think, was one.
Just yuck.
Yeah, some real... Just, like, I think that was just to throw people off. Like, they just, like, got those domains.
Because if someone made them, they should... Can they get the money back, like, from the guy they paid to make them?
But, yeah, so they've come out with that. That was not long after, I guess, the suit. Oh, that might have been a couple of days after they revealed the suit.
Yeah, like a week
after. Which I'm still, like, pinging off. I love that suit.
That
I'm so
cool
pumped.
Suit. I will give it that. I would have preferred it some longer ears, but it's exactly what we wanted, I guess, as a Batman suit.
It's going to be grey. It's going to be grey and black. It's going to be beautiful. And black.
It's going to look like actual Batman.
Yeah, it's so good.
And rumour is they're going to redesign the Superman suit as well.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. Potentially, with the Batman suit, you might get your longer ears, because I feel like there's going to be more than one Batsuit. Especially if you fight Superman at one point, he'll have to have that mech
that
suit.
That tank suit, which will be sick. I think maybe they'll, like, maybe for Justice League, he'll upgrade his suit or something. Like, at this point, he's just, you know, he's worn out, he's wearing the same thing, and then he's like, oh, it's, you know, when we make
I think they're just going to do that, like they did with Iron Man. For each movie, they give him a new suit. I feel like they're going to do that. Yeah, it's always good.
And it would be a good excuse to show off some of the other looks that Batman's had as well.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, with the actual title, putting Batman first, heard an interesting thing in terms of just when filing a suit against somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You put the person's name first, who's bringing the other one to justice. So really what it's saying is, like, Batman is sort of bringing Superman to justice.
Oh, like, one's the defendant and one's the plaintiff, it's called?
Yeah. And because, with, I don't know, whatever you call them, like, law
So
documents.
It's going to be Batman chasing Superman then?
I reckon it makes sense. Like, after all the damage that he was part of in Metropolis,
yeah,
it makes sense that he might have somebody coming for him. Or, like, at least, you know, once they cross paths, he might try and do something about it.
The rumours I heard was that it was going to be Lex Luthor and Bruce Wayne, like, semi-team up to try and rebuild Gotham.
Yeah.
And so you might even see them on the same side for some of the movie.
I think, like, if you think about with Kingdom Come, how Bruce is, like, playing him early on.
Yeah, that'd be cool if they did that sort of thing.
I think that's probably an angle they're going to take. Because I think one of the initial things I read was that they, like...
I'm getting chills, man.
Lex Luthor, like, almost tricks him into a fight with Superman. And I don't like that, because Bruce Wayne...
Bruce is smarter than that.
Yeah. But that said, end of Justice League, Lex Luthor now knows who.
Oh, that's right. He was Batman like Bruce is. Wayne is Batman. Yeah,
yeah. He's like he right at the end of that issue of Justice League. I think it's issue 31 or something.
Yeah, 31. Yeah.
He comes to the door and Alfred answers the door and he's in there in his like business suit and long trench coat and it's raining. He's got an umbrella and he's got this real like stern look in his face and he's like, "Hello, is Batman in?" Oh, I'm like, "Oh awesome. Shit,
fuck! I forgot that even happened."
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty big. Really, yeah, that's the first.
It's not something I remember really happening.
As really, other than outside of Hush, when I guess the Riddler figures out who he is, it's the only real villain that knows. Oh, than Ra's al Ghul. That really,
care.
Yeah, like it doesn't really matter to him. Whereas Lex, Ra's al Ghul wouldn't use it in such a way that Lex Luthor might.
It's a very manipulative. And like the interesting thing too was everyone in that Justice League front cover. Is facing forward with Lex except for Bruce, who's standing sideways. So I think they're kind of foreshadowing there's going to be some sort of conflict between the two of them.
Yeah. I really like the way that Ivan Reis draws Batman, especially like in the face sort of area. Like he's got the cowl on and they always do like the white sort of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
His is kind of like completely blacked out other than where the iris is. So it's like it's sort of reflecting out. So then that area becomes white. So if he's like got like a monitor, it'll be slight, like small. Like circles of white, and everything else is just really dark and thrown in shadow. I picked it up in the last issue. I'm just like, that's fucking cool. I like that.
What do you reckon they're going to do with the bat suit in the movie? Do you reckon they're going to do the black makeup around his eyes again? Or I'd be really down if they gave him the white eyes.
I don't know how they do cool. that. They sort of they did a little bit of a throw out to that in Dark Knight
with the sonar thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it with the white eye because it doesn't really make sense. Like for actual. Visually being able to see being stuff. Able to,
yeah, it doesn't really make sense, does it? Unless you have like a,
cool
a
as hell,
Jarvis sort of system going over his eyes, obviously without Jarvis, but if he had Alfred in his head or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm happy with just seeing eyes, though, to be honest, and just going the same route that they've always taken.
Yeah, I mean, I think the suit looks great either way. I'm just interested to see it. Like,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So. I'm interested to see it in colour as well, because I feel like I listened to an interview with Kevin Smith, and he said that it actually looks very different to what it looks like in that... in that shot.
Yeah, I think potentially we'll listen to the same one where people have been asking me if that's the suit that he saw, or like the image that he saw, and he's like, no, they posed them on like a rooftop or something, and it's in full colour, and it's just like...
There have been people who've kind of, because it's in whatever it's called.
Monochrome.
There have been people who've like recolored the image.
Yeah, I don't know if they really recolored it, but they've highlighted the dark and the light aspects more, so it sort of it makes it more standout.
I haven't
actually
seen them, I might give it a Google...
I don't know, it doesn't look that different when they try and make it stand out. They highlight where the bat symbol is, and then the actual body of the suit is slightly lighter, and then they make the cowl darker. I don't think it's really representative of what
it'll look
like.
It's not really good. I'm looking at it now. It's not really a good representation of what it's going to look like.
No. It just kind of makes it... I think it was more just for clarity, because it's quite a dark image.
I feel like the grey... Like, in this one, the grey almost looks a little bit yellow. I feel like it's just going to be grey.
Yeah.
It's... I think it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm real pumped about it. And the other thing would be potentially more than one Batmobile.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like that makes a lot of sense because he always has, he has lots of toys. He has more than one car. Why wouldn't he have more than one Batmobile?
I'd be keen on that. I'd also be keen to see, some of the other sort of vehicles that he has. Like,
yeah.
The Batplane. Bat and stuff. Like,
I want to see the tank from Dark Knight Returns.
Surely that'll be the other vehicle.
That'd be sick.
That'd be awesome. Like just a really blown out tumbler.
Yeah, I was rereading over the week the All-Star Batman and Robin.
I think that's a really good run.
It gets a lot of flack.
They make him a maniac. They make him fucking crazy.
Yeah, and just not. I don't know, he's not very Batman-like.
He doesn't seem like Batman, I'll give it that. I kind of like the fact that he's obviously a fucking nutcase, though.
Yeah, I was... Because I'd read it before, and I was like, oh, yes, it's okay. And I decided to go reread it, because... I don't know, I'd been wanting to read some the other aspects of that universe. Because that's supposed to end up being a prequel for Dark Knight Returns. Like, that's that Batman as a younger man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I wish they'd finished that series, too.
There's still time. Neither of them are dead. They can do it.
6 years since they started.
Yeah, it's probably never going to happen, but it'd be pretty great if they did.
And I feel like Frank Miller fucking hates DC now.
Maybe.
So I feel like the relationship's a little bit sour there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, I know. I heard Jim Lee talking about it in an interview, and this was an interview from like a year ago. So, and he was like, he said, you know, he'd be up for it, but that, because he's like fucking busy. He's a busy guy.
He's a busy dude.
There's like no time.
They were saying that he does all of his drawing at night because he's so busy during the day doing all the facilitating and actual like business stuff for DC that he only has time at night to draw.
Fuck.
Which is like, they better be paying him well.
Like, I think, yeah, he's quite rich now. Yeah,
I imagine so.
And there's like a surprising amount of money in comic books. I didn't realize that they'll...
You get to DC and Warner Brothers, especially with the film franchises, like, there's so much cash.
Yeah. But yeah, one thing I noticed is when I was reading that All-Star Batman and Robin run, is when he takes Robin to the... First of all, it takes like 3 issues for him to fucking get to the Batcave.
Oh, I know. It's that trip home.
Yeah. He, as you go, as he sort of takes his blindfold off and he... No, does he have a blindfold on? No. Once he gets him in the cave and he's like, Robin's looking at it and you have that massive piece of fold-out that you get.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
You can see that tank being built. Really? I'm like, on the far right, you can see it being assembled. I'm like, yeah, boy.
That's really cool.
You can't see it, like, it's only like a quarter built, but you can see the tires and stuff. And it's like, yeah, that's sick.
That's cool. See, I didn't even pick up on that. Another thing about the Batmobile, they showed off a pretty solid picture of the Arkham Knight Batmobile. Everyone's giving it flack because it's got all these guns on it.
Yeah, that actually was an interesting point for me too.
It struck me a bit weird, but like...
I assumed it'd have to be rubber bullets or something.
That is my assumption, yeah.
But yeah, it seemed like, you know, it makes sense for it to be like an armoured vehicle. It has to have all these weaponry on, otherwise it's just kind of like a big car and you're not going to run people over with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just having actual just guns on it was just a bit jarring for me.
It was really the roof gun that got me.
That looked, like, fucking dangerous.
Yeah, I could deal with, like, the little, like, the ones on the, you know, the actual body of the car and stuff, but that one, yeah, it looked a little bit over the top. It looked like someone would have to man it and actually shoot people.
Mm.
So I'm hoping they don't somehow include that in the game.
Yeah, I don't think you have to go man it, but I think it'll still be in it.
Yeah.
But while we're on, Arkham Knight, it's been delayed until...
I am devastated.
Like, next year, yeah?
And they haven't even said when next year. Obviously, this means they're going to take their time with it, and it's going to be excellent. I was really looking forward to getting my hands on it in October, because for the next couple of months, there's not a whole lot coming out for next-gen consoles.
So yeah.
I was really, really pumped. I'm pretty bummed out.
It seems to be happening a lot, though, with games at the moment, but especially with this one, it didn't bother me too much that it got pushed back. If anything, it just means it's going to be better. And I can wait. I'm not.
Of course, it's going to be better. I was really looking forward to seeing some E3 footage for it.
We still could.
I feel like if they pushed it back to next year, like, unless it's April next year before the next E3, they're not going to show it off at this one, because no game has 2 E3 showings.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. But, you know, I don't know. It'll end up being better, I think, so.
Oh, absolutely. I'm still going to fucking buy it as
well. Yeah, well, yeah.
Probably take the day off work.
The week.
Yeah, it's not the week, yeah. But, yeah, I could have... It would have been good to get it this year, I guess. I'm just disappointed.
And quickly jumping back to the old... I guess you could say the Batman v Superman universe.
Yeah.
David S. Goyer... I think it was last week or the week before, came out with some interesting comments alienating...
Many Hulk fans, yeah.
Not even just Hulk fans. Just like comic book fans in general, because he took a crack at just comic book people in general.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he kind of directed it at them. I think, aside from the fact that they're cousins, it was just a dumb thing to say, but the comments do raise a pretty good issue about females in comics, because they're always these super curvy, super busty... like, heroines. And it got me thinking, like, why is that always the case?
Well, just who you're aiming it to, I guess.
But I think that's what David Goyer was saying, more or less.
I don't think it was.
Like, he was the whole, like, she's a prostitute for the Hulk or something, whatever he said. Was
yeah, like, totally, he needed the
Hulk. Totally out of line. This is stupid, but at the end of the day, like, I think he was talking about the way she's drawn and the way she's, like, not so much her character, but the fact that she is, like... They can't have just a plain...
But even that just shows a level of ignorance, though. Because, you know, yeah, she's curvy, but she's also not, like, the most outrageously dressed of all, like, the superheroes. And really, and every She-Hulk thing that I've ever read focuses on more to do, especially, like, the most recent run, focuses way more to do with her, like, intelligence, and, like, that she's a lawyer.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. I haven't actually read the She-Hulk series, so it's not so much about her character. It's more about... the way that female heroes are drawn and portrayed in general, I guess. Mm. I think he fucked up what he was trying to say, and I think he made a total asshole out of himself.
He definitely did. And I didn't, like, for those that might not have heard of this, you're probably best Googling it, because I can't remember exactly.
I can't remember the exact quotes either.
But it was something along the lines of how she was just made to be basically so the Hulk could fuck somebody,
yeah,
and
not good.
That she was made all curvy for little loser nerds who kept getting beat up in high school and shit like that.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, something like very close to that. And I was just very off-putting. And like, you have, like, attacked and alienated, like, the people that are making you money right now. Like,
also, like,
this is your direct audience you're addressing.
He was probably one of those kids that he's making fun of, too.
I think he did mention that. It's like, you know, he made it out that he was one of them as well. But still, like,
it's a little bit much, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed. Especially because, you know, I like She-Hulk. I don't, like, not my favourite.
I haven't read any She-Hulk stories, or Hulk stories, to be honest.
The most recent run of She-Hulk's been quite good, and that's the only one I've really read. But she's always been a good supporting character.
Well, they're cousins, aren't they?
Like, yeah, they're cousins.
Yeah, that's even more fucked up.
It's like, she got sick, or she was in an accident, and she needed a blood transplant, so Bruce Banner gave her a blood transplant, and that's why she's She-Hulk. And that's why she has, I think, why she has a little bit more control over it, because she didn't get, like, a full gamma dose.
I thought she was just always green.
Yeah, oh, she can control it.
Oh, okay.
But she just, for whatever reason, she always likes to stay green. So.
Fair enough.
Why not?
It's not easy being green.
No. Talking about coloured people in...
I don't even have to edit that one out.
No, I'll go on with this.
Alright.
I mean coloured as in, like, green and purples.
Okay.
So, Thanos has been announced.
Oh, yeah, that was, yeah, good segue. yeah, Josh Brolin.
Yep, Josh. So, fill me in. I don't really know too much about Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin has been in a lot of good movies. I think he's either won an Academy Award or he's been nominated for some.
You know, the only thing that I know for sure, that the only thing I recognized him from was Men in Black 3. And yeah, I haven't seen that, I just saw him in the end.
Not a good no.
That was the first thing I went to. And I feel like, potentially, I feel like people like me who don't particularly know him, that might be the one that they go to.
Yeah, please don't let that be your judgment of him. The only stuff that I've seen him in has been the Coen Brothers stuff. We like No Country for Old Men and True Grit, and like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he got nominated for No Country for Old Men. But the dude can act, and he was up for Batman too.
Was he actually up for Batman, or was it just rumored? Because I thought that was a rumor.
There was rumors and stuff going around, and then IGN spoke to him. They flat out asked him, like, you know, what do you think about Ben Affleck becoming Batman? And he was like, well, obviously, I was involved in that whole process, and I would have, you know, really loved to be in the role. But Ben
Affleck, who wouldn't love to be
Ben
Affleck's
gonna kill it. Like, it's basically what he kind of said.
Yeah, well, he has to say that.
Just, you have little faith.
No, but literally, he has to say. He couldn't come out and just absolutely
trash
the guy.
It's like, everyone you've spoken to has said, like, everyone in Hollywood, outside of Seth Green, has been like, Ben Affleck's going to do a really good job. So, obviously, some people are going to be against it, but they just can't say.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a weird choice. I don't really know Thanos that well. Josh Brolin can definitely act. My question now is, what the fuck is Nathan Fillion's role in Guardians of the Galaxy going to be? Because I had some sort of hunch maybe he'd jump into Thanos.
No way.
No, like, end of the day, they're going to dub his voiceover.
Yeah, but no way. I just could not see that. Whereas Josh Brolin, it looks like he could actually hold the role, like, physically. Like, I know, like, he will be all CGI, but just, like, he looks like he could be Thanos, almost.
I just feel like, at the end of the day, with characters like that, like, the actual looks don't matter. Like, it's more about the way that they actually perform.
I guess, yeah. But even, like, the voice is just wrong with Nathan Fillion.
See, I don't know what that was supposed to sound like.
It's kind of like deep Shakespearean, sort of waxes on a lot. It's just not right for him. But I have a hunch that Nathan Fillion will be, like, an old, like, Richard Rider sort of character. And Richard Rider, obviously, you're giving me, like, a confused look.
Yep.
But for those out there who recognize the name, that would be Nova. One of the...
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I reckon he could do that sort of role really well.
Like an old one?
Well, like, just an older version of... Because they seem to be, like, playing with the time. Like, thinking of Ant-Man especially, like, they've got Scott Lang as Ant-Man instead of Hank Pym for the first one, but Hank Pym's still going to be in it.
Yeah.
So they seem to be, like, just playing with the ages a little bit. So
I can do with that.
They could make him... Like, there's a new Nova, Sam Alexander, so they could use him as the main Nova for when eventually they do make a movie.
The old Nova there as well.
And then have Richard Rider as, like, a mentor role.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Because I have seen a lot of articles up lately about why they haven't used Nova yet.
Yeah, well, I think the Nova Corps make an appearance, or, like, they have a big role in Guardians of the Galaxy. So
that's not far off now, is it? It's like 2 months.
Yeah, fuck, I'm so excited.
Shit, that's not far at all.
The second TV spot came out some point this week. That was pretty cool. They didn't show you much more, yeah. But just like different cuts of stuff, and no, it looks.
I'm very intrigued to go and see it.
Yeah, I am excited.
I am ready.
But yeah, so he's been announced as saying, I don't know, from the little I've seen.
Has he been announced or is it rumored?
No, it's confirmed. He's
really
100%. He's Thanos.
Fuck.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's interesting.
He didn't get Batman, and he went, you know what? Fuck you guys.
I've got evil.
I'm gonna go to the Marvel team.
Yeah,
they'll pay me more.
Yeah. That's the thing, though, with, like, you know, because, like, he's come out, obviously, like you were saying, like, come out and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, he'll do a great job. And everybody keeps saying that. And for anybody who comes out and says, oh, no, he's going to be shit, the first thing people jump to is like, oh, well, they said that about Heath Ledger. Yep. I hate people using the Heath Ledger.
It's a very different role.
I've heard it for a number of things recently where people just, like, jumped on and it's just like, oh, yeah, but Heath Ledger. I'm like, well, you know, Heath Ledger was Heath Ledger. Like, potentially, you know. You know, a dog's not going to be able to play Mickey Mouse. Yeah, he can be like, oh, but you know, Heath Ledger could do like Joker.
A different and probably more relevant example is Anne Hathaway as Catwoman.
Yeah.
Because I fucking hate Anne Hathaway. And, like, I was really unhappy when I heard that she was going to play Catwoman. When I first saw the costume, I was like, oh, God, this looks terrible. But you see the movie and you're like, oh, shit, all right.
Yeah, first thing I was like, oh, yeah, Princess Diaries is going to play Princess Catwoman.
It's just like all those teeth. but yeah, and like she nailed it. I'm confident. I've kind of been very vocal in my opinions on Ben Affleck as Batman. I think it's going to be really good. At first I was really thrown off, but yeah, I see where you're coming from. Heath Ledger it was a very different role too. And like, you can do a lot more. You can play the Joker very differently than you can play Batman to an extent. Batman's always going to be the same character.
Yeah. Whereas the Joker has like been different.
They kind of made him a heroine addict. Like this crazy homicidal, like, thrill freak, as opposed to just like this, you know, like sick joke kind of, like, you know, they're not the Joker from the comics, basically.
Yeah. Well, even he, like, that's the thing with the Joker, his personality, even in the comics, it changes regularly, and that's kind of part of his character, is because he changes so much. Whereas someone like Two-Face doesn't really change that much.
He's kind of pretty standard. He's like, kind of the duality of man sort of thing, like Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, and even like, you know, once they establish that killer backstory for Mr. Freeze. Was it Dr. Freeze or Mr. Freeze?
Mr. Freeze? I always fuck that up too.
I feel like he should be a doctor though. Like, he seems like a pretty switched on dude.
He's a doctor though, isn't he?
Then shouldn't he be a scientist? Freeze? Oh yeah, maybe he doesn't. He didn't quite get through his PhD.
Maybe that's like a little dig at him. They call him Mr. Freeze, not Dr. Freeze.
It's like, I didn't go to...
I'm a doctor now. I'm not a real doctor.
Yeah. Once I gave him that killer backstory from Heart of Ice from the animated series, like, he hasn't really changed too much in
terms
of character.
That's right, that came from the animated series, didn't it?
Yeah, that Harley Quinn, that whole bunch of stuff.
That animated series had such a massive effect on the actual Batman mythos, like...
Well, fucking Kevin Conroy is Batman, like, he's my Batman.
Yeah, he really is. So you hear his voice and you're like, oh, fuck, Batman's around.
Yeah, like, he's been doing a lot of panels recently that I've been listening to, and, like, he opens up with, like, the classic line of, like, I'm... Vengeance, I'm the Night, yeah. I'm Batman. It's like, oh, fuck, no. Every time, it sends a shiver down your spine. It's like, fucking Batman. And yeah, like, I've been rewatching, like, the old Justice League, and it's just like, that's just Batman for me.
It really is. Like, I love what Christian Bale did outside of that voice. Like, I could deal with it at the time. After reading more and more Batman, like, you're kind of like, well, it's probably not how he'd sound.
Yeah.
But I know in Nightfall, they literally say, like, he uses that grating, horsey, like, horse-like voice when he's talking.
Well, I think that's just a standard for Batman. They've said that that's what he does. Like, even in the Morrison run, like, right at the very early, like, in first couple of issues, like, Alfred's, like, helping him with a tie. Like, he's gotten rid of all the crime, pretty much all the crime in Gotham. So he's, Alfred's, like, convinced him to take a break, and he's gone to London, he's going to some charity thing, and he's, like, doing up his tone. It's like, oh, you know that gravel in your voice, you have to practice in front of the mirror each night before going out as Batman. He's like, yeah, what about it? He's like, you do that all the time now.
Really?
And yeah, he's just like, hmm.
Fuck, I haven't read, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. So, like, he basically just forgotten, yeah, the whole...
He forgot point, who Bruce Wayne was.
Yeah, the first couple of issues of that were just, like, he had to rediscover who Bruce Wayne was. because he'd lost himself to Batman for so long.
Well, that's the whole, like, argument, is it, like, is Bruce Wayne the person or is Batman? Like, which one is the mask, I guess?
You think it that's the thing that I always find interesting. That's with DC, the difference between DC and Marvel. Marvel's heroes are very much, you know, Spider-Man is always Spider-Man. Yep. He doesn't pretend to be someone. Oh, he pretends to be a little bit of someone else, but not character-wise.
Yeah.
Same thing with, like, Iron Man and Captain America. And Secret Identity is kind of out the window for most characters in that, like, everybody knows who Daredevil is, even though he, like, tries to pretend that they don't.
Yeah, Wolverine's always has been...
Iron Man, all the X-Men, everybody, they don't even have secret identities mm-hmm. anymore. Captain America, everybody knows he's Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers, yeah.
The only one that's really sort of kept it would be, I guess, Spider-Man. Like, he's the one... And even he gave it up for a while.
For a while,
and
yeah.
And then they did some weird fucking backdoor shenanigans with Mephisto and...
Mephisto.
Got his thing back. Whereas DC has always been a clear cut.
Superman, Clark Kent, and Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, and that way... And, like, Flash, you know, he acts differently between them. Like, he's probably the closest one to being a Marvel sort of villain. Hero.
I guess Hal Jordan's probably most in line with...
Yeah, like, he's pretty much just...
He's just kind of an arrogant...
He just got a stupid little mask on.
Yeah, he's got a stupid little mask on. That was the one good thing about the Green Lantern movie, how he was wearing that mask and she was like, I've known you your whole life. How do you expect that to, like, make you unrecognizable?
Yeah. But yeah, so that's you know, that opens it up to a lot of interesting stories that you can do in terms of, like, which is the real person.
Well, that's what I felt the Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy kind of got lost on. Because in the first movie, they're very much trying to establish that Bruce Wayne isn't really a person. He's kind of trying to find out who he is, and Batman is that person. The Dark Knight, you've got, you know, he's fully in his element. He is Batman. And then in The Dark Knight Rises, it was like, I guess, a story of him becoming Bruce Wayne again. But it also really mixed the whole, like, which one is the mask thing up.
Yeah. Because
he was able to stop being Batman for 8 years, and then he's able to just retire.
Yeah, they stumbled a little bit in that movie. Yeah. I didn't like the stopping for 8 years, because that's the one thing about Batman that is...
He's consistent.
He just doesn't stop.
And he stopped because Rachel died. Like,
His sort of girlfriend dies.
Yeah, and they show, like, the photo of her and stuff, but it's like, dude, the whole reason you're Batman is because your mum and dad got shot.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, this would drive you on more. Like, Batman would take, at most, like, 8 minutes off. He would sit down and be like, all right.
Just gotta rub one out.
Probably go back out there. Yeah, yeah.
Real tired, gotta rub one out.
Rub one out, and then I'll go back out.
It's for you, Rachel.
But yeah, I just feel as though they kind of lost a little bit on that one. But
yeah,
I also feel like Christopher Nolan didn't really want to make that movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like everybody's doing trilogies. You gotta do a trilogy.
I feel like they just said, like, you more or less have to do this if you ever want to do a movie with this again.
Yeah.
Because, like, and they made a shitload of money from it, but also, like, I've heard stories of, like, I'm from Perth, where Heath Ledger's from, and kind of gets around, and my driving instructor was Heath Ledger's stepdad. And he went to the Oscars and stuff. You know, he went to the premiere of Dark Knight, and he was talking to Christopher Nolan, and he was like, you know, are you going to do another one? And he's like, I just can't imagine doing a third Batman now that he's gone. Like, I just can't imagine ever sitting down with the character of Batman again. And then 3 years later, it was like, oh, Dark Knight Rises is coming out. And I was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, all right. Don't get me wrong, I was pumped as fuck when I heard they were making a third one. But I was also like, well, that kind of conflicts with what I've got straight from the horse's mouth. So, yeah. And the movie, I feel, reflected that. Like, it was just kind of like it was good, but it wasn't Christopher Nolan good.
Yeah, like I said, it just faltered, I think. And especially just, like, the characterization of Batman seemed a little bit off with that taking. The 8 years old, like, if it just hadn't been that long. Like, if it had been, like, 6 months or a year.
Yeah, I could deal with that. 6 months, maybe, he's in a rut or something, like...
Yeah, or, like, he's injured. Like, because I've rewatched because the whole knee injury sort of bothered me.
Oh, yeah, it's like...
And you rewatch, like, The Dark Knight, and right at the end, he is limping a bit as he runs.
Oh, you can see, he's obviously fucked, like...
And it just, yeah, and especially because, like, he had all this new equipment downstairs, so, like, you quit being a Batman,
but you still had them build the Batcave.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that didn't match up with that. And it's like, you know, you've been limping for 8 years, and then all of a sudden you put a strap on and you can kick through walls.
Magic knee brace.
If you had that to begin with, you would have put that shit on 8 years ago.
Yeah, just for, not even to just be Batman, just walk normally and not be in pain.
I'm pretty sure you couldn't kick through walls before, so where'd that come from?
Like, it's got, like, cybernetic limbs now with these knee powers.
It was like the first two, they played them so earnestly, and the third one, they were like, let's go really, really comic booky with this. Like, suddenly we have three main characters running around with masks on. The city's about to be blown up by a nuclear bomb, and Batman's the only one that can save it. Like,
that element's cool, though. I like that. I have no issue with that.
I feel like it went too far, because that, to me, was just like a... That felt more like a Superman job.
Yeah, well, anything Superman do, Batman can do better. So.
Oh, not true. Can he fly? Yeah.
Not being a whingy bitch like he was for all of Men of Steel.
He was, okay, how was that? No, no, no. Superman Returns, 100% I agree. Man of Steel, he was not a whingy bitch.
He was such a weird stalker in Superman Returns.
Oh, it was just terrible. Like, he's just, like, hanging outside Lois's house, like, I'm just going to sit here and watch you guys for a while.
So gross.
Just, oh, I'm very good looking, but no one likes me. Like, it was just like, okay, cool, man. Like, go punch someone. Oh, wait, you didn't for the entire movie.
Have roofy kisses.
Yeah, roofy kisses. Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, we should move off that because we talk about that too
often. Oh, I'm going to get bitter if we keep talking about
Superman Returns. I guess moving on back, I guess, towards... We were talking about Batman. Back towards Batman. The weekly series has been chugging along. Batman Eternal and Future's End.
I'm still really enjoying Batman Eternal.
Yeah, it's still been pretty consistent. I didn't like the art. Did you read the most recent one?
This week's? No, I haven't yet.
Well, I'm going to spoil it for you.
Go ahead.
The artwork's not... I don't know, it's a bit shoddy at points. Like, it's not great. I don't think
it was a bit shoddy the week before as well.
Yeah.
They didn't have faces.
Yeah. this week has been... the very last page, there's an expression Alfred pulls, and he basically loses his mouth entirely.
Oh, it was like the Friday afternoon job right before printing was going, so each of the guy just drew it and freaked out.
Very nice. But all that aside, like, strong issue. Like, he's in Japan tracking down... he's in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Batman Japan was there, that's what threw me off. He teams up with, Jiro from Batman Inc.
Incorporated, yeah.
Which is cool to see him, that he's still getting used, because I really liked
him. He's been in one other thing, I think, hasn't he?
He was in Incorporated, then he was in...
He could have been an earlier version of Eternal, actually.
No, he hasn't been in Eternal yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure, I think that might have been something he was referencing, at least. And there's this... So you would have seen at the end of the last issue, there was that person on the side of the building.
I thought it was Catwoman.
It's not Catwoman. But no, because Catwoman was still in Gotham at that point.
I must not have paid much attention. To me, it was Catwoman.
It did look like Catwoman. Like, she did have similar... I kind of thought maybe it was Catwoman, but then...
Was it Shiva or something?
No, I'll get to it. Catwoman was still in Gotham because it opens up with her in this issue because she's like stealing from Falcone, just being a jerk.
Being a jerk
cat.
Cat.
And so then he goes to Hong Kong to try and track down what exactly, you know, Falcone was doing this whole time. And the person who was breaking into, wherever she was breaking into, confronts Batman. Like, they're going for the same thing, basically. And they run into each other and they get into a bit of a fight, as they do. And then... Because by this point, you see her face, and there's no idea who the fuck this girl is. And then it's not till the very end, like the last couple of pages, she gets stabbed. And, like, Bruce calls down to Alfred, like, he's in the plane, he calls back to him, he's just like, oh, you need to make up a spare room. We've got someone coming to stay with us for a little while. And he's like, oh, do you think it's really a good time to be bringing strays? And he's like, we can make an exception for this one. And it turns out to be his daughter. Or niece, or somebody. It's some relative.
Alfred's niece?
Yeah.
Like the one that was Batgirl in Batman and Robin?
No. Well, it doesn't... You're not actually sure if it's niece or daughter, but she's got the last name Pennyworth, so... And I don't think he has any, like, relatives, so it probably is his daughter.
Wow.
And he's just, like... His face is, like... He loses all lips, and it's like, the fuck?
Well, that'd make you lose your lips. Yeah.
Yeah. So, they've got now Alfred's daughter, a potential new Robin as well, I guess.
I'm so confused where it's going to go now.
Yeah, they've got lots of potentials for Robin.
Stephanie Brown was a big focus in the last Batman Eternal, the one before that one. And the Clue.
Well, we know she becomes a spoiler. She might end up being the new Robin, or there might just be no Robin until Damian returns.
And Bluebird. Like, that's what they could be sticking with. You'd think that somewhere in...
There's always got to be a Robin.
Batman... No, they haven't seen Batman in Future's End yet, have they?
Oh, actually, he came up in this most recent issue. It's been hit and miss a little bit, and I think it just has to do with who's writing it at the time.
Yep. Also, I think it also, for me, is who it's focusing on as far as characters go. I feel like the ones where it focuses on Terry are a bit stronger.
See, that was not... He hasn't been utilized well yet, I don't think. It'll come. Like, it's going to be... It's got a year series, and it's, like, issue 7. I think people
it's
need
to... It's very early.
People are very just, like, jumping all over it and, like, just back up a little
Give
bit.
Give it some time, guys.
But the Grifter stuff has taken an interesting turn. He's going to, what is it, like, Cadmus Islands now? So, like, all... Like, there's, like all
Cadmus
these...
Labs.
Yeah, but they've got an island now, and they're going to dump him there. Like, he got paralyzed by that somebody. I can't remember what the guy's name was. Somebody he was trying to find. Oh, that was trying to find him. Yeah, paralyzed him and is making him do a job, basically. It's like, I'll give you the ability to move again. Like, it's like no arms or legs. He's, like bedbound.
Shit.
He's giving him the ability to walk again if he does his job. So it's kind of like he has no choice if he wants to be able to walk again or move or live.
Yeah, fuck. All right, that's pretty rough.
So that's taking an interesting turn. Like that, I'm glad they moved. That it looks like they're moving away from that alien stuff, which is just really fucking boring to me.
I get a bit. Yeah, I think I literally skipped over the Grifter pages last issue.
Yeah, and they had a little bit more of Mr. Terrific in this one, just announcing some new personal device, like a... Because he's, like, a developer.
Yeah.
Like, he's like Apple.
He's kind of like Mark Zuckerberg, but, like, buff and with little silver balls.
I'd say more like Steve Jobs. Like, Steve an Jobs. Evil jerk Steve Jobs. Maybe
Steve Jobs was an evil jerk. So
okay, well, maybe he's, like, just like Steve
he's just,
Jobs.
Like, a superpowered...
Sans turtleneck.
Yeah, well, isn't he wearing a black turtleneck in this one?
Well, there you go. It's just
Steve Jobs. They're basing more Steve Jobs.
Yeah, so he's introduced a new thing, and it seemed like that's going to play in a big way, because it seemed like everybody in the DC universe was paying attention. Like, you see Batman sort of, like, pensively looking at a screen as this is getting announced. Haven't seen him in, like, the back brace bit yet, which I'm looking forward to seeing.
That'll surely come further along, won't it?
Yeah, it's ages down the track.
Maybe
it's, like, issue 30 or something like that.
So, wait, is issue 30 when they finally catch up with the...
I don't know,
because, like, I'm thinking about it, and he's got the back brace in that new timeline, but if they're altering things, it might not even happen in this one, or it could be in the fight with Terry, and breaks his back or something, like...
No, I think it's... it'll be something that's happened in that 5 years, but it might not necessarily be something that's going to happen.
Oh, is it 5 years, though?
Yeah, Future's End is set 5 years from the current DC continuity. It's not current continuity.
I thought it was a year, maybe. I didn't know it was five.
Yeah, it's 5 years.
Yeah, okay, yeah. In that case, it could be happening, yeah.
Yeah.
But they've got to be careful how they handle that then, because where's Damien in the scheme of things in that time?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, he hasn't... Well, there's no real focus on Batman other than Batman Beyond. Like, later down the line, I think they're going to go in, like, the... Obviously, Batman, like, Terry will come across Bruce at some point. But he's not really a focus, so he's not really in it so much. But yeah, like this most recent issue was definitely a step in the right direction, I think. The Firestorm stuff was interesting, like they finally split again.
Oh, cool.
And they've sort of gone their separate ways, but obviously...
His new costume in black.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's fucking cool.
But it's kind of like, it left a bad feeling in my mouth, that storyline they've taken so far, that basically Ronnie Raymond has just been holding him captive
like hostage in his mind.
Yeah, it was real, just a bit dark for me.
Pretty dark, yeah, but the whole series has been pretty dark so far.
Yeah, that Zero, that free comic book day issue was
that
just
was
fucking brutally
Wonder
dark.
Wonder Woman in the fucking, like... Spider Wonder Woman.
It was pretty depressing and horrific.
Cutting off people's arms and shit.
Yeah, it was pretty full on. What else happened in that issue? I think that's more or less it. It seems like, yeah, they're ramping up to some stuff, which should be cool.
I think it's going to be a good... people have been giving it some flack. I heard this week's issue was stronger, but...
Yeah, and I think it's just like the creative team that's on it for that week. Like, the 2 weeks that it wasn't great... It was the same person writing, and it's just kind of like dropped. So, unfortunately, it's probably something that's going to have to face.
Yeah, because he will have been writing other issues.
Yeah, the whole Cadmus Island thing should be interesting. And again, another island full of mad scientists. Another 52 throwback, because they had a whole fucking island where they were capturing mad scientists.
Stryker's Island, or
It was Oolong Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember it from the game, and they have Tio Amaro there with Was there a reference to Red Tornado at some stage in Future's End? And I think it was actually a female robot this time.
Well, yes. If you were reading her too, you would know that Red Tornado's already come up. And is a female and is Lois Lane.
What?
Yeah, they moved, like, her consciousness is now in the Red Tornado robot. Like, it was moved across before, like her memory was copied before she dies or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, so she's Red Tornado. That's actually getting interesting. Like, they've started to focus again more on, like I said they would, again, I was correct.
On the other small, like the...
They've gone back to focusing more a little bit more on, they've sort of started to come back, like Green Lantern's back in a big way, Flash is now back.
Yeah, you were basically saying that you had, like they had to just build out the universe, I guess, and like establish what these heroes were in this game of things, so now they can focus on who they actually want to talk about.
Yeah.
Knowing that everything's set up.
And especially because it'll end up leading, like, you know, Earth 2, I reckon it's going to end up that they abandon that Earth because mm-hmm. it's just going to be fucked. And World's then they'll End. Have their, yeah, they'll have World's End and they'll have their war with the Prime DCU or whatever they're calling it. They've got really weird structure on how they're calling it. One is Prime Earth. And then there's another called Earth Prime.
Really?
Yeah, which is like two different places.
That's how you confuse people.
That is, I was very confused when I'm like, so which is it?
I feel like the numbers just make more sense.
Yeah. Or like, you know, have Prime for one and then you can go and do your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's, I'm looking forward to seeing where that all goes. And it seems like it's building definitely to them having to leave that Earth.
Yeah, I feel like I should probably start reading Earth 2 again, just because I know it's leading into World's End.
The thing with the reading, just jumping straight back into it, though, you'd probably need to read at least a little bit of what's happened beforehand. Yeah,
there's so much stuff going on.
Because it's been, it really relies, it's because it's been one continuous story, it really relies on that, that foreknowledge. But yeah, so I'm curious to hear more, for like, see what else they give us in Future's End about this war, and actually who's moved across from Earth 2, outside of, you know, Mr. Terrific. Mr.
Terrific, yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, who's, I guess, who's moved, like, did Alan Scott come across, did Jay Garrick?
Yeah, of course.
Did Hawkgirl come across, like, what's, you know, what's the deal? What's did going on?
The big, their version of Solomon Grundy come across, like.
He was cool, I was really into that,
it was, Solomon Grundy. Because he was, like, what was he called, he was the Grey? Like,
he was the Grey, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, the I guess their version of the Rot. Yeah.
Which is kind
of
cool.
Yeah. I guess the final thing I want to talk about is, moving over to Marvel, Original Sin.
I'm not caught up on this, so you have to spoil it for me and spoilers for everyone listening.
Yeah. So, Original Sin, I can start from the start.
Yep.
So, basically, it's just like, it's a murder mystery sort of thing. So, the Watch has been killed,
mm-hmm.
and the Watch is this sort of godlike being that watches over the Earth and will show up for any, like, I guess, event that is, that will play a large role or is important. So, like, every, like, Marvel event that they have, he always shows up at some point or mm-hmm. another. Like, Civil War, he shows up as they're having a meeting about what side to take, or like, it's sort of built in, it's like, what they should do about this Registration Act, and then it sort of, it becomes clear during the, like, discussion that everybody's sort of on a different side, and then, like, he shows up and it's like, okay, that's not good. Secret Invasion, he shows up. I'm not sure if he showed up during Siege, but he might have. Anyway, so he shows up a lot, and he basically just documents. And then in the Zero issue, Nova's talking with Captain America and Iron Man and that. And he's like, oh, you know, because he's sort of begun this friendship with the Watcher. Like, he goes and visits him on the moon and just talks to him. He doesn't say anything back, though. And he's just like, oh, you know, why does he do it? And they're like, that is an interesting question. Nobody has actually asked that before. and so he goes, and it's like, the reason he does it is because they used to, like, his species used to go and encourage planets and would help them grow and, like, reach their full potential. But then I think something, it went horribly wrong with one of them and they, like, wiped themselves out. And so then it was like his father and, like, Uatu, who's the Watcher, his father and another one, who I'm not sure if it's his brother or just another mm-hmm. Watcher that they had. That he decides never again that they'll intervene.
Mm-hmm.
So the Watcher's goal is to then watch, and he watches all realities to see if there's, like, a way, like, a better way, or, like, if there's, like, a version of things panning out where it's better from him helping
mm-hmm.
or somebody, like, stepping in so that he can use it as, like, I guess almost an as an argument to, like, this is why we should do, like, what we were doing kind of thing. So he gets murdered and his eyes get cut out and stolen. So he gets shot by somebody. And this is like a god level sort of person. Mm-hmm. So this is, it's kind of like, it's got to be someone pretty strong that's mm-hmm. killed him. And somebody's cut out his eyes and stolen them. And because it turns out that his eyes is where he stores, it's like a biological memory bank.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where he's storing all his secrets that he's seen. And so then the villains are revealed, but not the villains that actually killed him. They're the people that cut out his eyes. So they came across the body and they took his eyes, I think it was. And it turns out to be, so this is written by Jason Aaron, and he fucking loves this character called The Orb.
I remember you telling me this.
Yeah. And I picked this from the start that it would be him just because I know that he loves him and literally writes him into every series he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he, well, it's the eye, like, they're stealing eyes.
Yep.
Like, it makes sense it's that a guy with an eye for a head,
yep,
would be, like, you know, the dude. and so they come across, it's him, what's it, Exterminatrix and Dr. Midas.
I have not heard of any of them.
These are all very, like, low-level villains. Like, Midas was invented, and Exterminatrix were invented by Grant Morrison, funnily enough.
Okay.
He did a Marvel Boy run, and Midas is like a rich guy. He has, like, at side issue 3, you see, like, a flashback where he's in, like, the Mark 1 sort of Iron Man suit, and it's all gold. Because he has the ability, because he was, like, obsessed with the Fantastic Four and cosmic radiation and stuff, so he experimented on himself, and everything he touches, he can turn to gold.
Midas Touch, yep.
Yeah. And, like, it kind of alludes to him being the villain, or a villain, early on, because Stark's, like, they're looking at surveillance and stuff, and it's like, oh, there was a jet that flew in at this time. It looks to be gold, and, like, it's a gold jet, and he used to fly around in a gold jet. So they sort of were alluding to it, and then eventually he gets, like, full-blown, like, cosmic powers, and he gets all the powers of the Fantastic Four, so he looks like the Thing, which I think will factor in, because it's a later...
Well, like a gold version of the Thing?
No, he's like the Thing, but his face is all shiny, like where the cracks are. It, like, glows. Which I think will factor in later because one of the covers of the issue is the Thing in chains, in like handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume it'd be Midas instead. They finally catch up to him because they caught Orb after he sort of unleashed the eye, or like the eye that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody saw all these secrets, and we know what some of them are already. We know that somebody else was...
Oh, it was just like the secrets they're going to use against the heroes.
Well, it's just like secrets that they didn't even know about themselves. Like ones like Spider-Man, the spider that bit him and gave him powers, bit someone else. Daredevil finds out who murdered his mother.
Has that been revealed yet?
No, apparently not. I didn't even know she was murdered. What was the other one that I know of? Oh, Stark had something to do with the gamma bomb that, like, going wrong that turned Bruce Banner into the Hulk. There was another. Oh, Thor has a sister. And I feel like there's one that I'm figuring. Oh, and Deadpool has, like, a daughter or something like that.
Fuck, imagine that.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And so the Orb, like, it does that and they capture him. And all the while this is going on, somebody secretly has assembled, like, another team. Like, so it's... Nick Fury's come out of the shadows and he's, like, the original Nick Fury has come back and is, like, leading the investigation with, like, Cap and Iron Man and the Avengers. Mm-hmm. But somebody on the sly has... So we don't know who it is yet, has organized another team of, like, just, like, ragtag bunch, like, Ant-Man, Black Panther, Emma Frost, Winter Soldier, Moon Knight, Gamora, all these different people, sent them off... Oh, Doctor Strange, Punisher, and sent them off into different areas to investigate. And so Doctor Strange and the Punisher find... in, like, limbo or wherever it is that you go, like, some magical plane, all these dead bodies of, like, demons and monsters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then at the center of the Earth, Black Panther and Ant-Man and Emma Frost find, like, all these, like, monsters and stuff with, like, all these powerful things, like, monsters and beings that have just been killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, they're all, like, some of them are really old bodies, some of them are, like, fresher. So it's obviously whoever's done this has been going on for a while.
For a while, yeah.
And then in space, Winter Soldier and Moon Knight and Gamora, they come across all these casings in space, like giant casings. And they're all like the same bullets that they're finding, like this kind of like green, like kryptonite bullets.
Like the same bullet that shot the Watcher.
Well, yeah, I think so. I don't know if they found the bullet on the Watcher yet or not. But yeah, like the same sort of bullet, I think is what you were led to believe. And then, yeah, they're, like, going through space, and they can't find anything, and they find all these casings, and they land on this planet, this completely barren planet, and it turns out that whoever it was that was killing them, the planet was, like, alive, it was, like, a living planet, which is something that they've had in Marvel already. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, established thing that there are some planets.
Kind of like the Anti-Monitor, but, like...
Kind of more like Mogo in the Green Lantern. You never read Mogo from Green Lantern? Either Green Lantern, that's a living planet.
The orange one?
No, he's like a planet. Like, he's an actual big... Mm-hmm. I'll show you an image of it once we finish it. Well, that's upsetting.
Jesus.
Anyway, so it turns out this person has also killed this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And... So, as they're going through, it's Moon Knight, Gamora, and Bucky, the Winter Soldier, mm-hmm. on, like, the planet. And he clicks. And you can clearly see something's going through his head, and he throws up his camera so that they can see. But as he does that, he clicks this thing on his wrist, like a beat, and you see, like, a light go on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ship blows up, and they're, like, stranded on these planets, like Moon Knight and Gamora, and they're like, what the fuck? And they're looking around, it's like, where's Bucky? And so the next thing you see is they're, like, interrogating the orb, like, Wolverine and the Hulk, and then Nick Fury's there in, like, a separate room.
Mm-hmm.
And he's by himself, and he's, like, looking at the orb, and he's like, why didn't I see anything? Why wasn't nothing revealed to me? Which can mean a number of things. Mm-hmm. But then the next thing you see, this portal opens up behind him, out steps Bucky, and Nick's like, what's going on? Shoots him in the fucking chest.
What the
Bucky fuck? Barnes, like, just caps him, and he's just like, he falls. He walks up to him. He tries to reach for it. Like, Nick Fury tries to reach for a gun. He shoots his hand off. And then he's just like, Nick Fury just like, oh, I never liked you anyway. And then Bucky Barnes just pulls out a machete and chops his fucking head off.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and then, like, the next, like, the final panel is, like, Bucky Barnes holding the orb and fucking Nick Fury's head in his other hand.
So, do you reckon it's going to be a fake out? Like,
I don't know. Potentially, there's a couple of different thoughts. Because I was... trawling some threads on the internet to see what other people thought. Potentially, he's a LMD, so a robot.
Okay.
Because he does that a lot. And they're made to look like even if they die, they're made to seem like they're a human body. So they're...
Well, you reckon Nick Fury is an LMD?
Yeah.
So you reckon Bucky's actually gone back to being...
Well, I think potentially... Bucky definitely knows something is up. Like, as soon as he figured out it was a planet, he sort of seemed to click. On something, oh, so we don't know what.
Yeah, okay.
So he could be either the killer, or he could be somehow connected to the killer. Or Nick Fury might be the killer, and that's why he went and just did what had to be done, kind of thing, because it's too dangerous to let live. But potentially, it's an LMD, or because you know the robot might not like doesn't have any secrets. Like mm-hmm. you know, he's not organic, so potentially wouldn't have affected him the same way. Or because he's Nick Fury and he knows everything. Like there's no secret that he needs to know. Or my theory is potentially that, you know, because he was going to die very soon, there was almost no need for it to, like, there was nothing to show him because his
life was over.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's fucked.
Yeah, it was pretty, and like, you know, the actual issue overall was like, oh yeah, things were moving along, but it wasn't like a standout issue until like those last pages where it was just like, fuck.
That's shit. Nuts.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It was very full on.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
So I'm curious to see where they go with that, but yeah, like I was saying, any Winter Soldier fans are going to be a little bit disappointed.
Bit disappointed at the moment. I really like Bucky.
Yeah.
I've just gone back and reread all the old Winter Soldier stuff. I've not read them for the first time.
Well, that was really, that run with him as the Winter Soldier and then becoming Captain America was really the only good thing they've done with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like nothing bad has been done with him, but just nothing particularly standout. Nothing's
reached that height again.
So yeah. Like, they set a high bar. It was a good series.
It was a really good run, yeah.
all right, well, I think that'll do it for this issue.
That should just about do it, yeah.
Well, we'll report back in another 2 weeks or so. We might even have some better sound quality. Ooh, thanks to a little special mic that's coming on.
The magic of microphones.
Yeah.
Magic so, mic, if you will.
So we'll see how that comes out. so yeah, if you like what you hear, like us on Twitter.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends, yeah.
Then tell your friends to like it on Twitter.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot.